Good evening from KBIA. I'm Darren Helwedge. For many years, this slot on Friday evenings belonged to Thinking Out Loud programs. It was Fridays at Mizzou and then Arts on Friday. For some months now, we have been bringing you in this time slot programs from the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. These radio theater times have been something that I know a lot of you have enjoyed. Well, we want to remind you that if you do enjoy these programs, it's our pledge drive time here at KBIA. Now, our phones have closed down for the evening, but we are still able to take your pledge at KBIA.org. Just go to KBIA.org and click on Support This Station. There are a lot of special thank yous that you can pick up when you do make a pledge to KBIA online. And since you enjoy the theater, I'll mention that there are quite a few programs from the University Concert Series that you might very much enjoy. In the Heights, one of the great new Broadway musicals. You can get a pair of tickets for that for a pledge of $10 a month to KBIA. And many others. There are great dinner certificates, whether your favorite restaurants are here in Columbia, like Shakespeare's Pizza or Sycamore, or maybe you're in Jefferson City and would enjoy a gift certificate from Madison's Cafe or Lutz's Barbecue. Many other special thank you premiums as well. Just go to KBIA.org to support KBIA's programming during our spring membership drive, and in particular, to let us know that you enjoy these programs from the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater. We know you support local theater. Now, support your local public radio station by making a pledge to KBIA during our spring membership drive. Again, you can pledge securely online right now at KBIA.org. Now, enjoy this evening's program from the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater here on KBIA.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of Maplewood Barn Radio Theater, brought to you with the kind assistance of KBIA. Today's presentation consists of two short plays by Alice Gerstenberg, entitled respectively, He Said and She Said, and 14. Our first story, He Said and She Said, takes place in the living room of Felix and Enid Haldeman, a happily married couple. World War I is at its peak. After a long day at work, Felix is just arriving home. Enid is seated on the sofa, and Felix kisses her affectionately.
Hello, dear.
Felix, I asked Diane and Mrs. Packard over for dinner. You'd better hurry and wash up a bit.
What, am I the only man again?
Oh, can't help it, darling. Mr. Packard's in Washington, and all of Diana's suitors are overseas fighting the Huns.
There must be some old graybeard left somewhere to invite for Diana.
Well, there are a few leftovers, but Diana doesn't like them. If she can't get the best male company, she prefers female.
Diana's an absolute peach. She should have married one of those boys before they all shipped out. Poor Aubrey Lawrence was madly in love with her.
Hurry up. Oh, there's a smudge on your cheek.
All right. If I have to dine with three women, I'd better look my best. I will go make myself presentable.
Thank you, darling. Oh, Mrs. Packard, it's so nice to see you.
I hope I'm not interrupting. Your maid showed me in.
Oh, not at all, Mrs. Packard. I'm glad you could come.
Oh, I jumped at the invitation. It's so lonesome with John away. How lucky you are to have your husband at home.
Oh, thanks to his business, the government prefers him here. Oh, please, let me take your coat. Make yourself comfortable.
I'm a little early, but Mrs. Morgan offered to give me a ride. Do you like Mrs. Morgan?
Why, yes, don't you?
Oh, she's much too gossipy for my taste.
Oh, talks about people?
Oh, heavens, yes. You ought to hear her once her tongue starts wagging. But then again, perhaps you ought not to hear her.
Why? Does she talk about me?
Now there, my dear, I have come for a jolly little dinner party, and I'm not going to gossip.
Oh, still, if she said anything about me, I ought to know about it.
Well, yes, I suppose you should. After all, I'm one of your best friends, and you really ought to know.
Certainly I ought to know.
But you may never forgive me.
Not forgive you for protecting me, especially if others are talking behind my back.
That's true. I suppose it's my duty to tell you.
Well, what is it? Now you have got me quite distraught.
Well, it's about Diana Chesbro.
Diana? Why, she's coming tonight.
Why, yes, she is. You invited her?
Why, yes. What gossip can there be about Diana and myself? She's one of my very best friends.
Oh, is she?
Well, yes, she most certainly is.
And yet people wonder why Diana didn't marry one of the boys before they went off to war. Anyone as attractive as Diana has plenty of chances, don't you think?
Oh, yes. She has many admirers.
Well, that's what they say. Nice men, too. Don't you think it's strange Diana didn't marry one of them?
Well, yes, perhaps it is a bit strange.
There! Of course it is! So why do you think she doesn't go ahead and tie the knot, settle down?
Well, I don't know.
What does she say?
Well, I think she...
Exactly. It's just what everyone is saying, and everybody feels so sorry for you.
Sorry for me?
Oh, my dear, you get all the sympathy.
Well, why? What in the world for?
Is it possible that you've been so blind?
Blind? What are you talking about, Mrs. Packard?
You and Diana are with each other a great deal, aren't you?
Yes, as I said, we're great friends.
And your husband?
Oh, that's what you mean.
Oh, yes, my poor dear, that's what they are saying.
Just what are they saying?
That she and... Oh, of course, I don't believe it, but...
But what? Please tell me exactly what do they say?
Hasn't he ever admired her in your presence?
Well, yes, of course. She's a beautiful girl.
What does he say?
Oh, that she's a peach and popular and all the men like her and many of them want to marry her and...
There you are. That's just it. He said it himself. And Mrs. Morgan told me that Diana refused the other men because... Well, she said because... Oh, why, there's Diana now. Diana, how good to see you, you dear, sweet thing.
Hello, Mrs. Packard. Hello, Enid. Thank you so much for inviting me. How's everybody?
Well, I've been nursing at the hospital all afternoon.
Oh, isn't Enid selfless? Nursing here in the States, while the nurses at the front get all the glory. Oh, Enid, can you get the letter from your brother and read it to Mrs. Packard? He gives such interesting descriptions from the front lines.
Yes, most interesting. Excuse me a moment. It's in my desk upstairs. I'll be right back.
My dear Mrs. Chesbrough, pardon me if I seem presumptuous, but I'm only trying to help you. Are you aware of what people are saying about you?
Saying about me?
Well, of course, they wouldn't say it to your face.
What wouldn't they say?
Oh, it's easier to flatter than to say disagreeable things.
People are saying disagreeable things about me?
You haven't heard?
Well, no, I haven't heard. But I would certainly like to know.
Certainly you would. Any young girl like you... Oh, but my dear, do you really think you should come to this house?
Come to this house? What are you talking about? Why, Enid is one of my oldest and best friends.
Do you really believe that? After what Enid said?
If she said something to make you doubt our friendship, then surely you're mistaken.
My dear girl, I have eyes to see and ears to hear.
Just what did Enid say?
She said she wished you had married before the war.
Oh, that.
Then you admit it, and you still come here.
What do I admit? I don't follow your reasoning. I don't see.
Of course you don't see. Love is always blind.
Love? I haven't said a word about love.
Of course not. It is a delicate word to use. And in this matter, it's... Well, the world does not look favorably on
Mrs. it. Packard, just tell me the plain facts. What are people saying, and what has love got to do with it?
Mr. Haldeman.
Felix.
Yes, and you. Your names have been coupled together.
They say that Felix and I? It's a lie.
It makes no difference. That is what people are saying.
Anyone who would say such things are liars.
Oh, my dear Miss Chesbrough.
And you're just the same, Mrs. Packard, repeating such slander.
You insinuate that I am a liar?
If you repeat such gossip, then yes.
You have insulted me.
No more than you've insulted me.
Miss Chesbrough, this is outrageous. I tell you something to protect you, and you reward me
by... You listen to idle tongues, and then you come and rob me of my happiness by putting poison into my mind.
I was telling you the truth. This is what people are saying.
I am the one who knows the truth. I know that Enid and I are the best of friends, and that Felix adores Enid. He could never care for another woman.
Oh, couldn't he? Does the world know more than Mrs. Haldeman herself? Just a few minutes ago, in this very room, she told me that Felix is in love with you. She pretends to be your friend, but in her heart she hates you.
It's not true!
It is not pleasant to argue with you, Miss Chesbrough. I shall find my hostess and make my excuses and not stay to dinner.
If I have been rude, Mrs. Packard, I apologize, but I cannot...
Goodbye, Miss Chesbrough!
Oh, hello, Diana. When did you get here?
Oh, Felix, this is terrible. Terrible. People are talking about us.
Who is they and who is us?
People are talking about you and me.
Why? What have we done?
Nothing. That's just it. But what if there were really something? It's most embarrassing for me. I don't know how to say it to you.
Say what, Diana? We're friends. You can say anything to me. Come on, Diana, out with it.
You do love Enid more than anything, don't you?
Of course, but...
Don't say but! Why did you say but?
Did I say but? I don't know. What was I saying?
You said, of course, but...
I don't remember. You have me all confused.
You don't think I'm in love with you, do you?
Great Scott! Do they say you're in love with me?
You've never thought that, have you?
I'm not so conceited to think I could...
Are you in love with me?
No!
Thank goodness, but...
What?
That's what they say.
That I'm in love with you?
And that I'm in love with you.
Holy smokes!
But it's not true!
No!
But they say it's true!
What can we do?
That's what I'm asking you.
Go straight to Enid.
But Enid believes it!
Nonsense.
She said so.
But Enid can't believe it.
But she does, according to Mrs. Packard.
It's too absurd.
Mrs. Packard said that Enid said you were in love with me, or something like that, and that Enid hates me.
She said Enid hates you.
Well, perhaps Enid does. Perhaps she is jealous over nothing at all.
Ah, here are Enid and Mrs. Packard now. Surely they can...
And Diana, Mrs. Packard says you insulted her.
I apologized to Mrs. Packard, but she would not accept my...
Then you admit you insulted me.
Only after you insulted me.
You hear, Mrs. Haldeman? It's just as I said. She accused me of insulting her when I was only trying to give her a little motherly advice.
Mrs. Packard took it upon herself to repeat some things that are manifestly untrue.
True or not, it's unpleasant to have such an altercation in my house.
Are you willing to believe that woman?
Mrs. Haldeman, I resent being called that woman.
I don't care what you resent. You've done your utmost to spoil a beautiful friendship, and I resent that.
But in my house, my guests...
Don't worry. I shall not be your guest any longer. I'm going.
No, Diana, I can't let you leave in anger.
But I am angry that you would believe anything she said.
What did I say?
You said that Felix and I were in love with each other and...
I never said any such thing.
Mrs. Packard, just a few moments ago in this very room,
I never said such a thing in all my life.
Can you swear by all that is sacred that you never said it?
I never said it. Never, never, never.
Didn't you tell me that you have eyes and ears, and that you can see and hear, and that everybody was saying...
But what everybody says isn't what I say.
Didn't you tell me that Felix was in love with me?
I didn't know that. She told me.
I never told you that.
Why, my dear, you did in this very room a few minutes ago.
I never said any such thing. How can you imagine?
I imagine nothing. I know what I see and what I hear. So I told you in a friendly way, trying to help, and here we are.
Yes, where are we?
You have no one to blame but yourself.
We have no one to blame but you.
Mrs. Packard, I didn't know anything about this until you said...
Why, it was you yourself who said that he wanted to marry her.
I never said anything of the sort. I said that he... Oh, Felix?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Didn't you say to your wife that you wanted to marry Miss Chesbrough, and didn't you...
I've never said such a thing in all my life, and whoever said it made the entire thing up.
He denies it, of course.
He has to deny it. To admit it would be false. Nothing we can say or do will change your mind.
Not my mind. Everybody's mind. I have nothing to do with it.
Enid, can't you stand up and defend us?
You admit you must be defended.
The whole world has to be defended against women like you. Enid, show her the door and prove that you trust Felix and me. That you know there has never been anything between us but the most innocent friendship. Please, trust me.
I have always trusted you. I never had the slightest suspicion, but perhaps I've been blind. Perhaps the rumors are true.
Are you going to take the world's word against ours? Are you going to believe silly gossip and let that outweigh the love and loyalty you've had from Diana and me for a lifetime?
Why don't you tell your wife you love her?
I love my wife, but I do not see any reason to make a public statement of it. I stated it publicly when I married her. She knows I love her. Don't you, Enid?
Do I?
Oh, come now, Enid. He adores you.
Don't you know it?
But Diana is pretty and...
Felix! Oh, I leave this house forever. Thank you, Mrs. Packard. I have lost two friends who meant more to me than life itself. I shall never see either of you again. Goodbye.
Diana, come back, please.
You see? He does not want her to go.
It would never be the same between Enid and me again.
I do not want her to go because I do not want an evil tongue like yours to triumph. If you'd come into our home and stolen our silver, you would be less a thief than you are now. New silver can be bought, but tarnished friendship can never be bright again. You caused this by your malicious gossip.
I didn't say it.
Pardon me, but you did.
I didn't say it. Enid did.
I didn't say it.
You did.
I didn't.
Well, what does it matter how it happened? It's done. Done. I don't care what the world believes, but I want Enid to know the truth. There is only one man I love, and he's overseas.
She's making it up. A likely story.
I'm not making it up. I'll tell you his name. It is Aubrey Lawrence.
Aubrey Lawrence? He wanted to marry you?
It's true he did, but Diana wouldn't.
Why wouldn't you?
Because I did.
You married him?
Yes, I married him. The last day before he sailed. Here is the ring on a chain around my neck.
But your family didn't like him. He has no money.
That's why I didn't tell them. But you can go now and tell them yourself, Mrs. Packard.
Aubrey Lawrence. Well, he's a good man. I'm very happy for you, Diana.
So am I, Diana. Forgive me.
There's the door, Mrs. Packard, and the world outside is waiting to hear your latest gossip.
Oh, I'll go, my dear, because I've offended you, and I know you are not ready to forgive me. But I promise not to breathe it to a soul. Not to a soul. Goodbye, everybody. I've got to run.
Diana, why didn't you tell me that you had married Aubrey?
Because I didn't.
You didn't?
But you said...
Oh, it doesn't matter what I said.
But Mrs. Packard will tell everyone.
Of course she will.
But when Aubrey hears of it, Diana, what will he think?
He will wish it were true, and so do I.
Have you found out since he left that you really love him?
Oh, madly, madly, madly.
Shall I get in touch with him and let him know?
Oh, I already have.
You haven't.
I have. I'm going to marry him by proxy.
Well, this calls for a celebration.
But when we tell people you married him by proxy, after Mrs. Packard has told them you were already married, what will people say?
What will people say? One way or another, people will say exactly what they choose and believe what they will.
And so, in spite of Mrs. Packard's best attempts to destroy both a loving marriage and a long-term friendship, all ends happily with the Haldermans and Diana. As Joseph Conrad said, gossip is what no one claims to like, but everyone enjoys. Unless, of course, you are the one being talked about. Our next short play by Alice Gerstenberg is called 14. It takes place in the dining room of a plush New York residence, where a beautiful dining room table is set for 14 people. Dunham, the butler, is hovering over the table to give it a few finishing touches. Mrs. Pringle, the hostess, enters wearing a fashionable evening gown.
Dunham, I've just had word from Mr. Harper that he was called away to the bedside of a friend who's very ill. I don't approve of young men refusing dinner invitations at the very last minute.
Yes, Mrs. Pringle.
Oh, it's too bad. After you've set the table so beautifully and it's getting so late, someone might be coming any moment. Oh, how's cook?
Cook's in a temper, as always, madam.
I'm glad to hear it. As long as she serves us a good dinner, I don't care how much she swears. The rest of you can just keep out of her way. Oh, where's Gustav?
I'm sorry to have to say it, madam, but there's such an awful blizzard out. He's sweeping off the sidewalk.
Oh, dear me, of course, but who expected a storm like this?
Here are the place cards, mother. Shall I put them around?
Yes, dear, and remove one plate, Dunham.
Remove one plate, madam? Oh, madam, you wouldn't sit down with 13.
13? Why, you're right, 13. Oh, we can never sit down with 13. Now look at the trouble Mr. Harper's caused. 13! I wonder whom I can get at the last minute. Oh, quick, Elaine, help me think.
Mr. Morgan, madam. He always tells a joke or two.
Oh, why, yes, Dunham, that's clever of you. Hello, Central Lakeview, 5971. At once, please. Yes, is Mr. Morgan in? Well, this is Mrs. Pringle speaking from across the street. Yes. Well, when Mr. Morgan arrives, please tell him to call me up right away. I want him to dine with us in about 10 minutes. Have him call me right away. Now, if he doesn't get the message, then what'll I do?
Well, Mother, I don't have to be at the table. It's your party anyway. Everybody's married or older than I am.
Didn't I put you next to Oliver Farnsworth? Millions! He's worth millions!
Well, he won't be giving me any. It's no use, Mother, trying to marry me off to anyone as important as him. He frightens me to death. I'm as afraid of him as I'd be afraid of the Prince of Wales.
Oh, the Prince of Wales. What I wouldn't give to have the Prince of Wales in my house. I was just telling Mr. Farnsworth yesterday that I'd give anything to have the Prince there. Oh, dear me, it's the phone. Hello, Mrs. Sedgwick? Yes, this is Mrs. Pringle. What? No? Oh, caught in a snowdrift. Can't get another car? Good, the widow can't come. That leaves us 12. Remove 2 plates, Dunham. Oh, that is a shame. Oh, I'm reduced to tears. Goodbye, dear. Well, I'm glad she's dropped out. Central, get me Lakeview 5971. Yes, hello? Has Mr. Morgan come in yet? Well, don't give him the message I left before about crossing the street to Mrs. Pringle's for dinner. It's too late. Do you understand? Goodbye. Well, anyway, I've saved my champagne.
The liquor is getting low, madam, what with prohibition and entertaining so much.
But, mother, if you only have 12 people...
How absurd. I always forget. Of course, 12 is an impossible number. Answer it, Dunham.
Hello, Mrs. Pringle's residence. A message? Yes, sir. What, sir? Mr. Darby, the doctor says your baby has the chicken pox.
Chicken pox, Elaine!
Mother!
Yes, sir. Mr. Darby sends his apologies, but owing to the transmutability of the disease, Mr. and Mrs. Darby feel obliged to send regrets, and also their house guests, Mr. and Mrs. Fleetwood.
Oh, that's 4 out.
Then you're only 8. Oh, quick, the plate's done 'em.
Well, don't we know anyone to invite at the last minute?
What about the Tuppers?
Oh! The Tuppers? Good heavens, Elaine. 6 in the family.
Well, that would get us back to 14.
Well, try them.
Ridgeway 9325. This is Elaine Pringle. What Tupper am I speaking to? Oh, Ella, hello. I hope you haven't finished your dinner. We have a party arranged here. At the last moment, everybody's dropping out. The blizzard. Can you and your family come eat with us? You would? Oh, fine. 6 more plates, Dunham. What? Oh, well, but... Dunham, get Mother, quick! Yes, yes, of course. Love it. Why, certainly. Yes, my dear. All right. Goodbye. Oh, great Caesar, now what have I done?
What's the matter? Elaine, what is it?
Now I've done it, but I couldn't get out of it. I just couldn't. I always lose my head and bungle things.
But what... Don't keep us waiting like this. What is it?
I invited Ella and the family, and she accepted, and then said she had 2 house guests. And would it be all right, of course, and I said it would, and now we're 16!
16? But, madam, the table's not that long.
Mother, I needn't sit at the table.
You're going to sit right next to Oliver Farnsworth. Now, I don't wish to hear another word about it.
But can't we squeeze them all in if I move the plates and chairs closer?
Have you forgotten that Mr. Tupper weighs something like 250 pounds? And Mrs. Conley has no waistline. It can't be done.
Cook is in a rage, madam. She says she is only prepared for 14.
I can't help it. She'll have to prepare for 16. Tell her to open cans of soup and vegetables and... Oh, the telephone, it's driving me mad. Hello? Yes? This is Mrs. Pringle. Oh, Jessica, a cold? Oh, you poor dear. Yes, your husband's right. Put on a mustard plaster. Hot toddy. Go to bed. So sorry. Oh, there, that's wonderful. We're back down to 14.
But the cards are all wrong. Only 6 are coming who were invited originally.
Oh, what a mess. Oh, there's the front doorbell. Please get it, Dunham. Oh, now what? Hello! Oh, Mr. Farnsworth. Mr. Oliver Farnsworth. No, you're his secretary? He's what? Instructed you to make his excuses? He had to leave for Boston at once on very important business? Oh, how dare he! Selfishness, downright selfishness, and worth millions! Just a match for you, Elaine. And now I don't know when I can get you a chance like that again. I'm perfectly furious.
Perhaps he really did have business and was called away.
Oh, and I, one of the most important hostesses in this city, people clamoring to receive my invitations. He was my most important guest, and now not coming? I'm furious, furious. Oh, it's all due to this damnable blizzard.
Oh, Mother, if he's not coming, that makes us 13 again.
It was Mr. Morgan at the door, madam.
Mr. Morgan, but I telephoned his maid to tell him not to come. Well, it's all for the best. We're back to where we started. 14, Dunham.
I'll get the cocktails ready, madam.
I won't answer it.
I should say not. Hello? What is it? Yes? Yes, Mrs. Tupper? Yes, Mrs. Tupper? But now you must come. We're prepared for you. Yes, for 8 of you. But now every plate is set. You must come now. But I beg you, my dear, you're not imposing. All right, then. Goodbye. Now, what do you think of that? Only 6 of the Tuppers are coming. Remove 2 plates, Dunham. We're 12 after all.
But Mother!
Oh, do be quiet, Elaine. I shall go mad. I shall never entertain again. Never, never, never. This is my last dinner party. My very last. A fiasco, an utter fiasco. They'll wish they had been more considerate. After this, I'm going to live for myself. I'm going to be selfish and hard and unsociable and drink my liquor all myself. I'm through with men like Oliver Farnsworth. I don't care how rich they are, how influential they are, how important they are. I hate Oliver Farnsworth.
A note from Mr. Farnsworth, madam.
A note from Mr. Farnsworth?
Yes, madam. There are 2 strange gentlemen in the lower hall. One calls himself the secretary and presented this letter. The other gentleman's face looked very familiar, madam, but I just can't place him, although I'm sure I've seen his face somewhere.
Seen his face somewhere? Oh, my goodness, Elaine! It's the Prince of Wales!
The secretary said the telephone was disconnected. He was about to tell you that the blizzard had prevented His Highness from keeping an engagement way uptown.
The Prince of Wales? Sitting in my lower hall waiting for me to ask him to dinner?
Then we'll be 13 again.
There's the secretary, miss. He is his bodyguard.
Oh, certainly. The secretary, Elaine. We shall be 14 at dinner. Serve the cocktails, Dunham. The guests may sit anywhere they choose. I shall bring the prince in with me.
But, Mother, wasn't it nice of Oliver Farnsworth to send a prince in his place?
Didn't I always say that Oliver Farnsworth was the most considerate of men?
I think I shall like Mr. Farnsworth.
Oh, silly child. It's too late now to like Mr. Farnsworth. It's time now to like the prince. I always managed somehow to be the most successful of hostesses. Thank God for the blizzard.
We hope you have enjoyed these audio adaptations of 2 Alice Gerstenberg short plays, brought to you by the Maplewood Barn Radio Theater and KBIA. Our players in He Said and She Said were Molly Dodge as Mrs. Packard, Amy Dratina as Enid, Rita Maloney as Diana, and Harrison Plummer as Felix. In the second play, 14, Amy Dratina played Mrs. Pringle, Rita Maloney was Elaine, and Harrison Plummer portrayed Dunham. Our producer was Darren Helwidge, and the shows were adapted for radio by Brad Buchanan. We hope you will tune in at the same time next week for another story presented by Maplewood Barn Radio Theater.